I think a lot of people know Ruth Bader Ginsburg based on what she's done in the Supreme Court. But what I was really fascinated by is what she went through in law school and how, I mean, the doors to the library were locked because she was a woman in law school, right?
I know her. It's kind of amazing what she went through not so long ago, really, in the mid to late 50s. She was at Harvard Law School, and she was one of 9 out of 500 men. She had to run across the courtyard to get to the ladies' room. There was a library that was off limits to women. It was just like, no way. And as she tells us in the documentary, she really felt as if everyone was watching her. You know, you were on display as a minority and one of 9 women in that big class. But despite that, I mean, she was at the top of her class, and she was on the Harvard Law Review. Then she transferred to Columbia her last year because her husband had moved to New York. She graduated at the top of her class at Columbia. And yet, when she went out into the job market, she couldn't get a job.
Yeah, this isn't unconscious bias. This is conscious bias, where the fact that you were a woman was like all you needed to be told no.
Yeah, and it was just very easily expressed. She's a woman. We don't hire women. End of sentence. That's it.
And the thing that she did is that she didn't get mad. She got even.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. She talked to us, to my directing partner, Julie Cohen, and I, about the lesson that she learned from her mother at a very early age, which was anger is a waste of time. And I think by that she means not that she wouldn't get angry, but that she would move beyond it and try to figure out a way around it. And in Ruth Bader Ginsburg's case, after she was discriminated against and kept out of jobs and denied an opportunity to be a clerk on the Supreme Court because she had been recommended to a justice on the Supreme Court who said, I'm not going to hire a woman. Within a decade of all the discrimination that she faced, she was part of this movement to change the discriminatory laws and customs in our country. And ultimately, she brought a series of lawsuits that really did force the Supreme Court to look at this discrimination that was out there that people really didn't recognize as discrimination. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg brought it to their attention and had a tremendous impact on every woman in this country.
There is an audio recording that you have of then a private lawyer, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, appearing before the court, and she's arguing a case, and I think it's Chief Justice William Rehnquist who says, isn't it enough that Susan B. Anthony is on a coin?
Equally before the law.
You won't settle for putting Susan B. Anthony on the new dollar.
And it's not clear that he's totally joking.
Yeah. The kinds of casual, you could say, sexist remarks that were made to her in the course of her work as a litigator appearing before the Supreme Court. And we asked her, we played her, actually, I guess we didn't play it for her, but we asked her about several of the comments that we heard on these audio tapes that the Supreme Court keeps of all the arguments. We asked her, how did you deal with this kind of dismissive remark? And her response characteristically was never in anger. And then my favorite comment that she made was, I almost felt as if I were a kindergarten teacher explaining to these justices that, yes, discrimination against women exists. And it was Justice Ginsburg then as a lawyer, so it was Lawyer Ginsburg, who was explaining to justices, no, you know, women don't have it all. They're not on a pedestal and treated better. The pedestal is often a cage.
We're talking with Betsy West, who, along with Julie Cohen, directed RBG. It seems to me there would be kind of a fundamental difference between saying we need to make a documentary about Ruth Bader Ginsburg to how do we make a documentary about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Because you have to, if you're going to do this well, probably get her cooperation, and Supreme Court justices are famously private. So how did you negotiate that part of the story where you tell Ruth what it is that you want and make sure that she's comfortable with what it is that you need?
Well, it was a step-by-step process, let's put it that way. Julie Cohen and I started about 3 years ago. We proposed to Justice Ginsburg that we would like to do a documentary about her life story. And at the time, she said, well, I'm not ready yet. So then we went back at her again a few months later with another proposal saying that we would like to wouldn't want to interview her right away, but we'd like to talk to her former clients and her colleagues and her family just to get the process going. And she said, well, that might be possible. And, perhaps in a few years, I'll be ready to give you an interview. So we slowly got closer and closer. And eventually, 2 years ago, she gave us the green light to go ahead and to film her at some of the events that she does around the country where she speaks to legal groups. And eventually we filmed with her, with her granddaughter, with her family behind the scenes at an opera where she had a speaking role. And then the most fun thing, filming Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg in her gym doing her legendary workout routine.
Yeah, that trainer is Brian Johnson, and we see him putting her through some moves that it's clear he's not really pulling punches. He is giving her as hard a workout as she can do.
Believe me, she does. It's just all business. She goes in there, and Bryant tells her what to do, and she does it. As he says, he has trained Marines before. He's a former Marine, and he says, Marines, they whine, but Justice Ginsburg just follows my directions, and if I tell her to do a plank, she does a plank.
I think it's safe to say that when you started this documentary, the world was different than it is today. We did not see the election of Donald Trump, the defeat of Hillary Clinton. We didn't have all of these reports about sexual harassment and assault and rape across popular culture and into government. How do you think that changes the way that her story is relevant and the way your film will be received?
Well, excuse me. I think that what's happened in the past year certainly does change the landscape, and it makes our film more relevant in a way, because I think our film and the story of Justice Ginsburg is a context that people need to understand, that it wasn't so long ago that women weren't even allowed into many workplaces. It was a hard-fought battle for women to get the right to use their brains and to contribute their talents to our country. And yet we're learning that sexual harassment and in some cases violence has kept women from really contributing. So it's another stage in a long battle for equal rights for women that's been going on for over a century. Ruth Bader Ginsburg played an enormous role in winning rights for women.
A couple of years ago, I was fortunate enough to go to the Supreme Court and hear oral arguments. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a tiny woman. She doesn't have a booming voice, but her questions were remarkably astute. She knew this case backward and forward. She's now 84, I believe. What do you think keeps her going?
She loves the law. She absolutely loves it. And that's been the case ever since she was a student at Harvard Law School. Her children talk about waking up in the middle of the night and going into the kitchen, and there was Mom on the dining room table with all the papers spread out, and she's writing into the wee hours. That's still the case, we're told, that she really is a night owl. She is very well prepared, from what I'm told. You come into that courtroom and Justice Ginsburg has read everything. She certainly has a steel trap memory. We saw that when we interviewed her. Her memory for the clients, the cases, the details of the cases that we were talking to her about. She actually corrected us on one thing at one point. She's got an extraordinary memory, and I think she figures as long as that's the case and she's capable of doing the job, she has no intention of stepping down.
Betsy West, along with Julie Cohen, is the director of the documentary RBG. Betsy, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, John. Great to talk to you.